This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Top of the championship with three games to go, but should the gap be bigger? These are crazy times. This is Blue Monday. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering all things Ipswich Town since 2015. My name is Mikey Penty-Smith and this is the flagship show. And joining me are two masters of the podcast world. It is Joe Fares and David Diamond, both of them over in Rushmere. Another Sunday night, Dave, with very mixed emotions.
Yeah, I think so. just a crazy, you know, a crazy last week at the top of the championship, really, wasn't it? I mean, if you'd have said at this time last week with the next, you know, all having to play a midweek and all having to play these last couple of days or 3 days, two or three days, that no team would have a win, there wouldn't be a win between them. Joe was just talking about one of his pals who had a double on Crystal Palace and Aston Villa today. Well, Christ knows what the odds would have been on the three of them not winning any of those, you know, any of those six games. So, yeah, odd. But ironically, you know, we're sort of all a bit downcast, but we've taken more points than the other two. So there's always a positive.
There is. Joe, you'd have taken being top of the league at the end of this week, wouldn't you?
I was there saying to someone last night, I think at any point other than about quarter to three yesterday afternoon, you'd have been happy to be top of the league at this stage, sort of a point clear at the top of the league at this stage, at any point in the season, because obviously you'd have expected Leeds to beat Blackburn at home yesterday. You'd have expected Leicester to win there. And if you'd have said, look, we're going to come out this weekend top of the league, you'd be absolutely biting your hand off of that. And yeah, but it was funny because normally, because we went top of the league last night as well, yesterday, didn't we? It's not like we were top and we stayed top. We actually went from second to first yesterday. So it was funny. Normally, when you're going top of the league, you're normally winning a game and there's normally the we are top of the league sort of chance going on. But I didn't really feel much of that yesterday. And I don't know whether it's just part of the nerviness that was in the crowd, especially on Wednesday, but I didn't think it was there so much yesterday. But no, it was I went out into town afterwards, and everyone sort of the same opinion, really. It was a little bit flat, wasn't it? Which is incredible to think when, from where we are and this position we're in, which is just utterly incredible. And Kieran McKenna will rightly be receiving the EFL Manager of the Year award tonight because of this job he's done so far. But yeah, what a position to be in.
Yeah, and if you put into context the fact that Liverpool lost today, Arsenal lost today, Rangers lost at Ross County as well. These are nervy times and maybe a point might not be the worst thing in the world. One Ipswich team who did manage to get 3 points though, Dave, was Ipswich Town Women. A fantastic 2-0 win for them against #United, which ended their title dreams. Mm. Portsmouth have now won the league, and friend of the show, Natasha Thomas, scored her 150th Ipswich Town goal. Absolutely superb stuff.
No, that's superb because I think this season, really the narrative, they've against the teams in and around them at the top end of the league, they haven't really, their sets of results haven't been brilliant, have they? So to go away and win today was a great, you know, a great lift for the end of the season. I know they're back home. No, it was a home today, sorry. I know, I think they're back home again next week as well, I believe. So they can't, I'm not sure how many more fixtures they've got. Yeah, great. And as you quite rightly said, superb for Natasha Thomas to finally bag a 150th. What an achievement. Fantastic.
Yeah, and probably while we're on air, there's a good chance that Mr. Kieran McKenna is going to be announced as the EFL Championship Manager of the Year as well. I'm sure we'll be kept updated in the chat. Joe, can't see anyone else winning that, can we?
No, and I can't see anyone else winning the Gold of the Year award other than Wes Burns. And I think the club tweeted earlier that Luke Chambers is up for the Sir Tom Finney Recognition Award, which I think is for a player who's recently retired for impact in the Football League. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be three Ipswich Town winners tonight. And I'm sure Leif Davis will be in the team of the season as well. And there'll be hopefully some other players make that as well. Ali El-Hamidi might have been the League Two team of the season. So we'll see. But should be a good night on the Ipswich table.
Excellent. And before we get into the Middlesbrough game, Rich is in the chat and he said it's Cardiff City next week and Billericay the week after, both at the AGL, which is lovely stuff. Please get down to that up in Felixstowe. And yeah, let's set the narrative then for this weekend. Leicester beaten 1-0 at Plymouth on Friday night. Who saw that coming? Not many people, but even less people saw Leeds being beaten at home to Blackburn Rovers. Lovely counter-attack goal from them. Blackburn were really good in that second half and it obviously helped that both opposition for our rivals this weekend were teams battling down at the bottom and they both picked up massive victories. Let's go into our game though, and there were six changes, which seems rather a lot, doesn't it? But kind of all makes sense because we're missing Harry Clark and we're missing Edmondson. So Wolfenden and Tuanzebe come in there. No surprises there. Masluongo comes in for Jack Taylor. Sarmiento gets a rare start. And Chaplin comes in place of Jackson and Broadhead. And Ali El-Hamidi got his first start in place of Kiefer Moore. Joe, were you a little bit surprised to see El-Hamidi get the nod?
Yes and no, because it does feel like both our strikers are managing sort of fitness concerns at the moment, aren't they? Where, like I say, Kiefer Moore looked really, really struggled, I thought, on Wednesday night, just with the sort of keeping up with the game. He hasn't really looked the same since that 120 minutes and that big emotional night he had for Wales. There, he sort of hasn't been as good since that point. And I think he's been desperate for this 2-week break there. We know Ali El-Hamidi, he's got a groin problem. And to be honest with him, I, at half time, I thought I didn't think we'd see him in the second half. I had a bet on him to score. I thought, I cashed it out at half time, so I didn't think we'd see him in the second half because he was really struggling. And we know it's a groin issue. We know he's going to need surgery in the summer, and he's playing through the pain barrier for us at the moment. And it did just feel like we're just trying to get through yesterday's game in that position, because obviously George Hurst is nearly back, Kiefer Moore not quite fit, Ali El-Hamidi not quite fit, and like I say, that they're your three options at centre forward, aren't they? So yeah, not a major surprise, but still it's big.
And Dave, a really mercurial attacking three behind El-Hamidi, wasn't it, with Sarmiento coming in and Hutchinson and Chaplin?
Yeah, really, really good. I really like the look of that. And as Joe quite rightly said, I don't think Moore's been the same since that international break. I think we said before he was flogged that night, really, wasn't he?
And then he had to come back and play on the Friday night as well.
He has struggled since then. Definitely a difference in him. But yeah, no, like that. I think Sarmiento, when he has come on his sub last couple of games, has looked lively. Certainly, I thought the liveliest of the subs, not that many have made an impact at Norwich, but I thought he looked the liveliest of the subs that night. So yeah, good to see him get a start.
Excellent. And after a couple of difficult games, it was a really positive start, wasn't it? Sarmiento forced an early corner. Davis sort of whips it across, lovely low one across for Chaplin. We don't often do that at the moment, where we go for the first corner something a little bit different. But we did this time. Chaplin's the master at getting across his man, isn't he, and finding some space. But unfortunately, just like at Norwich, he just couldn't keep that shot down. Sarmiento then goes an amazing dribble. Chaplin gets a powerful low shot off on the edge of the box, but drags it just wide. Such a positive start that, Joe. But then Borough go up the other end and take the lead. Talk us through that goal.
Yeah, it started from a sort of rare mistake from the captain, wasn't it, who passed the ball back to Hladky, but it wasn't a great pass back, and it forced Hladky to sort of dive to keep the ball in and sort of slid to clear it. And it just, maybe it's one of those ones where sometimes you just got to put the ball off the pitch, don't you, or let it go behind for a corner and reset and go again, because from that point, we never really got set. And the ball ends up with Luke Ayling, who is given far too much time to cross the ball. And I think sort of Lattie Laff runs off the back of Luke Wolfenden, and just, yeah, it's a free header. Good positions, a really well taken goal. So from the point where they pick the ball up, they move the ball really quickly, get a good quality ball into the box. And then we end up sort of conceding from there. And it did just feel like, bloody hell, like we have started this so well. We started it like a house on fire.
Yeah.
The crowd on Wednesday against Watford were really nervy, and I include myself in that. I'm not digging out the crowd, but it was a nervy atmosphere where I thought yesterday both the players and the crowd and everyone was really positive. And even when we conceded the goal, you heard the chants coming up from sort of the north stand all around the ground to sort of keep them going. And the crowd were really with the players yesterday. And I think, I don't know, we looked back to our best and we looked like we're playing some nice stuff at the moment.
Yeah, like he was... Yeah, you're right, Joe. He just tried too hard to keep it in, didn't he? And in the end, he did nothing or the other. You know, just slid, got it, 30 yards up and immediately gave possession. Bit harsh. Yeah, Morsi was a little unlucky. He does brilliant. I think, is it Silvera could have been? I don't know who he challenged, but he does superbly to win the ball down in the right back. Pretty much in the right back role there. Wins the ball. And as you say, it's just a bit of an airy, fairy, awkward, high, bouncy ball back to Gladke. And, yeah, we just lost control of it after that. What I would say, I thought Ayling still looks a good player at that level. Danny Luke Ayling, I thought he was really good yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always been a good
athletic,
attacking
strong,
hasn't
yeah,
he?
Really yeah. good.
Yeah. Legs haven't gone there yet for him.
Not at all.
Yeah, eight minutes later on from that Middlesbrough goal, and we're still playing beautiful football out from the back. As you say, it didn't sound like the fans got on top of them, didn't sound too nervy. Swift counter-attack ends with Davis cutting it across the 18-yard line. I think it was meant for Chaplin, but it finds its way to Hutchinson. He sets himself beautifully, doesn't he? And tries to bend it into that far corner. It's just over. A really nice effort from Amari Hutchinson there, who looked on it from minute one. Tuanzebe then goes in a lovely run forward, and his cross is, well, sort of handled behind by Matt Clark, but that isn't a handball in the... Well, in any time, in my opinion. But didn't really matter, Dave, that we didn't get the penalty as soon we end that long goal drought of ours.
For us, yeah. Yeah, it was an odd one here with Clark. He sort of throws himself to his left. And from where I was, Joe probably had a great view of it. I couldn't really... It looked like it hit him sort of halfway up his arm. Whether it was, you know, we all know, intention or whatever. It looked an odd one, really. Hell of a big shout, though. But, yeah, didn't get it. But in the end, yeah... At first, you think, oh, bloody hell, Davis has overhit that one. And brilliant from the one. Well, first, there's some really, really top-class blocking from Tuanzebe, who basically drags someone out of the six-yard box with him, to be fair. But what a finish by Luongo, beyond the far post, sort of on the edge of like the six-yard box, beyond the far post. I think someone described it. Yeah, he sort of kung fu kicked it in, didn't he? Sort of brilliant. Like Haaland scored a goal like that last season, didn't he? Absolutely superb finish. And always good to see I think it might have been bounced up and off the bar twice, but barring in, which is always good. So, yeah, and he deserved, really a deserved, and we didn't deserve to go behind, be behind. So, a really deserved equaliser.
And an important goal, maybe on a personal level, for Luongo, Joe, because he hasn't quite been at it in recent weeks, but really re-announced himself yesterday afternoon, didn't he?
Yeah, he obviously went to Middlesbrough at the start of last season. It's sort of a late attempt to try and get to the World Cup squad, moving up from League One Sheffield Wednesday to Championship Middlesbrough. And he didn't kick a ball for them in 6 months before he signed for us. And then his career has just sort of gone gangbusters since then, really, hasn't it? But yeah, he's a player who's not... He looked like he's been a bit tired recently, but given Jack Taylor that game on Tuesday or Wednesday has really helped him out and given him a sort of week off. I know he did come off like 20, 25 minutes in that game, but yeah, he looked on it yesterday and really good. Him and Morsy were really, really good in that midfield, as they generally always are, to be fair.
Yeah.
And at this stage, Portman Road, we've spoken about the atmosphere a couple of times already, but it's absolutely bouncing. And Sarmiento nearly lifts the roof off the stadium for the second time in 2 weeks. But his little toe poke comes agonisingly off the post after a really nice instinctive ball through from brilliant. Connor Chaplin. That would have been just brilliant, wouldn't it, to hit them twice in a matter of minutes.
I think someone commented on the Telegram going, not much came off for Chaplin yesterday, but that was just sublime, that touch, sort of like cushion volley pass. And he does everything right, I think.
The Giovanni Dos Santos.
Yeah. I think in fairness to Jeng, the keeper, I think he gets a little bit of that. He gets a little bit on it. And I was just waiting for, again, Joe, you had a brilliant view of that. But where I was, I thought I was just going to roll in the corner. Defender's not going to get there. And time seems to stop still. He sort of hits the post. But it just seems to sort of just, the ball almost seems static. And then, yeah, Elhamidi has a bit of a raid, tries to back heel it in from an angle where perhaps, yeah, I don't look.
Yeah, you know, Hutchinson's Hutchinson's there, isn't he?
But yeah, I was all going mad in the penalty area at that. Yeah. Well, not in the penalty area, 6 yard box at that point. Yeah. So yeah, that was really unlucky. I think that goes in, we go on to win 3-4 probably. But there you go. Fine margins.
Yeah, Borough then have a couple of chances of their own or half chances towards the end of the half. Burgess makes an outstanding block. Cool. Overall, Joe, a really pleasing first half performance. Obviously disappointing not to be leading at half time, especially having started so well, but a really pleasing performance because we haven't been quite at it the last couple of weeks.
No. Yeah, we did look back to our best. Our passing looked sharp and crisp and people were making the runs and we were creating chances. And yeah, I've just thought a really good performance and sort of what you needed, especially after you'd seen the results around, you thought, well, this game's here for the winning now. We can go out and win this in the second. If we play like we did in the second 45 minutes, as we had in the first, we'd have won the game yesterday.
Yeah, let's get into the second half then. And it pretty much seemed like everything positive we had in the attacking third at least went through Amari Hutchinson. He went on an unbelievable mazy run, but he just couldn't quite set himself, could he? And it's deflected over by Engel in the end, but a fantastic run by Hutchinson. He's got such lovely balance, hasn't he, when he runs forward. That was a little bit Michael Olise-esque, that one, Dave.
Michael Olise. So you mentioned Dos Santos, and yeah, there probably is a fair comparison when I think back. Predominantly left foot, so well balanced, so quick. Wow, he's quick, but yeah, crikey, that would have been a hell of a goal. But as you quite rightly said, he just couldn't quite get out of his feet, could he? I mean, he'd run, 50 yards probably, incredible, but yeah, just couldn't quite dig it out, unfortunately. Good defending. Again, pretty good.
Sarmiento was screaming for it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, but he ain't going to pass there, is he? He's just never going to give it there. And I think that, in deference to Borough, I thought second half they dug in and, to be fair, defended well, didn't they? I thought so.
Yeah. More and Broadhead then come on for Elhamidi and Sarmiento. Joe, firstly, how would you assess their performances in rare starts? And secondly, were the subs the right ones to make at that stage of the game?
I thought, we sort of mentioned Elhamidi earlier. I thought he did well enough, but he just doesn't look quite at it. Like, even when he's pressing, he's sort of not able to sprint around. So I think it was just a case of just trying to get him through the first hour. And he did well. He created a couple of chances. He maybe could have done better a couple of times when he was in a decent position. But generally, I'd say for a first start at this level for the kid, it's a sort of really promising performance. It's definitely something to build on. And then I thought Sarmiento was probably our most likely goal scorer yesterday, so I'd have probably kept him on. So I thought that Chaplin was... I thought, like I said, we mentioned earlier how a couple of things came off him, but I thought Chaplin struggled sort of on and off the ball yesterday. It was probably one of his poorer games I've seen him have for Ipswich, but he is the goal threat and he's the sort of standard setter up front with regards to the press and knowing where to be. He's almost like your sort of second captain on the pitch. So I can see why he did stay on, but I'd have probably been tempted to have him off and keep Sarmiento on.
Yeah. Agree with
Broadhead's involved pretty early on, slips in Hutchinson, but his curling shot is saved from Dieng. That was a decent chance for Hutchinson. He has another shot from distance headed over by Clark. Taylor then comes on for the excellent Luongo. Broadhead hits a powerful shot just over. That was a decent effort from him off his left peg. But then Hadke is forced to make two absolutely world-class saves to save us a point and keep us in that top spot. The first, an excellent low save from Jones, who's just... he's barely eight yards out.
He's got a score there.
Really. He's got a score, but he didn't do a lot wrong. Hladke, I think, has guessed, hasn't he? He's guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done really well to get down there. The second one is sort of Kelvin Davis against West Ham style, isn't it, Joe? That just incredible full stretch save from Clark's header. You were right behind that, weren't you, Joe? So talk us through your emotions at that moment.
Well, I thought the first one just looked in from the moment he hit it. And Hladke keeps himself big. He stays big and he gets across. And the ball's almost past him. Just the lightest of fingers, he seems to get to it, but just does enough just to push it wide of the post. That was, I say, I was right in line with the shot. And that looked, this is coming to me there. And yeah, just that was sort of one of those where you sort of stand up and clap the save. And that doesn't happen often. The whole stand sort of up in unison. And then, yeah, straight after that, another brilliant save. And I say, it's a great cross, great header from Clark. He does absolutely everything right. And Hladke sort of, because he seems to be set on the other side and then manages to dive, sort of sets himself on his left, but then gets across with that hand over. And you could see everyone, again, it's one you see on the highlights, you see the whole crowd up on that one as well. And they were two massive saves. Could sort of arguably put those up there with that one at Sunderland in the 178th minute on the opening day of the season, where he sort of pushes it onto the post, and probably the sort of most important saves of the season, because this point is going to be a very valuable point come May the 4th.
Yeah, that was Aylin's cross again, brilliant cross. Then he pinged it in, and really good header from Clark. That was an unbelievable save, because Joe said he just gets across and just gets a hand to it. Yeah, superb.
And that was how it ended, wasn't it? 1-1 draw. What was the mood like at full time there, Dave?
I think it was probably better than against Watford, wouldn't you say, Joe? Watford, it was very sort of very flat. But again, as Joe quite rightly said at the start, there was none of this, you know, top of the league, etc. I think the mood was generally upbeat. I think we played well yesterday. I think overall, I'd say we played well. I didn't think we played poorly against Watford, to be fair. But I think overall yesterday, I think we played well. All right, Hladke's double save at the end, but arguably on chances created, we probably could and should have had the game won by then. But I just think, look, you know, the result would have looked totally different had both look, obviously Leicester and Leeds both won on Friday and Saturday lunchtime. So look, yeah, as again, as Joe said, three matches to go, top of the league. And I think until yesterday, I honestly thought this 2-week break wasn't necessarily a good thing, because, you know, I had, and I think perhaps we all do, we had both Leeds and Leicester picking up points both midweek and yesterday, some points. And I thought I was one in, my train of thought was, yeah, we're going to be chasing it, and going to commentary, going to Hull, chasing it isn't going to be great. And we still might be, but I think I was certainly heartened by how we played yesterday. And I think with a 2-week break, who knows, maybe Wes Burns might then be fit, who could be massive for us. Yeah, I'd feel a lot better after. Obviously, we would have felt a lot better had we got 3 points. But yeah, I feel a little bit more confident now.
And Joe, you're always full of confidence, aren't you? But have you lost any because of this sort of 3-game winless run?
No, because I think take the derby out of it, which was a poor performance. I thought Wednesday we deserved to win. We just sort of ran out of puff in the second half. And I thought yesterday we were back to our, maybe not quite our very best, but sort of right back to how well we could play there. And everyone sort of looked fit and raring to go now. But now we've got this 2-week break, and there's some interesting fixtures in that, isn't there? And it's just where we end up. Be very, very interested to see how the table looks when we kick off against Hull, because things could be very different there. We could be... I'd say if we're still top at that point, then it's going to be incredible. But I'd say Leicester play Southampton, is it? Or Southampton play Preston this week. And then I think Hull have got Watford, and there's games there. And then the following midweek, so before we play Hull play Coventry actually on that Wednesday before we play them on a Saturday as well. So Hull have got sort of Saturday, Wednesday, us there. But we now know that before the Norwich game, we knew 6 wins would get us into the Premier League. the next game, five games will get us in the Premier League. Four games, and now three wins will get us in the Premier League. That's unbelievable, isn't it? And whilst, say, I don't need to say what the frustrations are. Everyone knows the frustrations that they are. If we'd have done this, if we'd have done that, we'd have been almost there now. But how different would the mood have been had we won the last two games? Leeds and Leicester also won the last two games, so we end up, we'd still be top, but on 95 points instead of 89 points, yeah, or whatever the maths is on that. It's not, I know that's not quite right, but would the mood be a lot different? Probably, because we'd be a bit more positive there, but I'd be a bit more fearing of Leeds moment and Leicester being in that form going, yeah, into their sort of games coming up. And, you know, like I say, comment there about Southampton now have something to play for when they play these games, and they've still got to play, obviously, Leicester and Leeds away. So they're sort of tough games for them. But I'm still pretty confident that we're going to get there. But I think two wins would probably be enough. Two wins out of the three will probably do it. And that would take us to, what, 95 points. So that 95, 96 points, I think, will be enough. But it's just finding a way to get there. But it does look like we could be playing a whole team who are out of the playoffs by this point, off the back of a couple of games that we haven't had to play. Then we play a Coventry game who are off the back of an FA Cup semi-final and a midweek game the week after that, and another Saturday game. But I think we're their fifth game in 15 days or fourth game in 10 days. We're there. And then a Huddersfield team who could be already relegated by that side. So I think our fixtures are, whilst they're two tough away games, they're probably fooled them at probably not a bad time of the season to play them, because Norwich look like they've sort of got that sixth spot sewn up now, really.
And who's to say, as someone just said in the comments, who's to say Coventry won't be Man United and be in the cup final?
Yeah.
it's mad, isn't it? It's well, I mean, if you think, if it comes down to it, if you thought the atmosphere and everything was what it was at that Exeter game, can you imagine what it's going to be like for the Huddersfield game?
Well, hopefully that the Hull and the Coventry games are the
we'll put us
Peterborough
up
and Barnsley games of this season. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, Dave, God, if there's another pitch invasion, will you be booing again? Booing the fellas in the pink Stone Island jackets?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, without question.
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful things.
One of the things we had a bit of a laugh about after that Exeter game was the way they did the Player of the Season awards. That was all a little bit strange, wasn't it? And I think a decision was made that they were going to be doing it after yesterday's game against Middlesbrough. I believe the club weren't given much of a choice. Kind of ended up being done in a mostly empty stadium. But Sam Morsy, deservedly Supporters Player of the Year. I can't imagine many votes went elsewhere. Joe, did you go with Morsy?
I actually voted for Vaslav Hladký because I thought that Morsy's got this nailed in and he is the best player. And if I had to vote, I would have voted for him. But I just thought I wanted to give Vaz a vote to hopefully get him up into sort of second or third in the round. Because I think he deserves something for the brilliant season he's had. But yeah, no, Sam Morsy was the winner. Rightly so. He's been first class every week of the season and is just playing, taking his game to a level that I don't think anyone expected him to be able to do so.
And Dave, did you stick around for it or were you no?
Well, I was one of the many that didn't even realise. No, I didn't stick around for it. And I saw you see some of the pics on Telegram group and stuff like that. It's kind of sad. There was like 300 or 400 people sort of there, really. So yeah, obviously last year it was after the Exeter game, wasn't it? So I mean, there was still most of the people in the stadium, so a little bit flat, I suppose. But I have seen the club have come out today and said that, you know, in future seasons they're going to review it for future seasons. So yeah, bit of an odd one. But as Joe quite rightly said, just Morsy's just been the levels every single week, quite rightly deserved it. But Hladký, and I agree with Joe's shout for Hladký. I mean, who could have seen this? Who could have seen this back in August? You know, we all said
Leif Davis, and the player of the season is Sam Morsy, but Leif Davis, he didn't win it last season either, did he?
That's crazy, isn't it?
You think, like, the two seasons he's had.
I know, he hasn't
even got near it.
I assume he'll get his reward. He must, surely he'll get in the championship team of the season, surely. Yeah.
But just to go back to, I didn't even know it was on.
No. And
in the hospitality area, once I realised it was on, the doors were locked, so you couldn't get back out to see it anyway. They'd come and lock the doors to get out, back out to the pitch, so you couldn't even go out and watch it anyway, even when you could see it was on. So it was just, someone said, oh, it was announced on the tannoy, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who doesn't hear that very well from my seat. I can't see this. I can't see the electric TV screen from my seat either, because I'm at the sort of back of the south stand lower, so sort of had no way of knowing it was going on. It just seemed, yeah, very, very strange and sort of unbefitting of Sam Morsey season.
I mean, it'd be nice.
Morsey gets awarded his trophy again on the pitch for Huddersfield. That would be common sense, wouldn't it? We should all get the chance to pay tribute to him properly. I think that would be a savvy move from the club, because that stadium is going to be packed.
The championship trophy that day anyway.
Fingers crossed, fingers crossed. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? We've got over 500 people watching us live on YouTube at the moment, chaps. These are incredible times for Ipswich Town, and we're riding that wave, aren't we, on Blue Monday. If you're watching live on YouTube, please hit like. That will help us reach an even wider audience. I know we're going up against the Masters at the moment and the EFL Awards ceremony. But yeah, thank you everyone for joining us. And if you want to get a question in for the second half of the show, it will help us if you can put Q at the start of it and a question mark at the end. But before we get onto that, let's hear from our sponsors. Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur. Opening soon.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kieran McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Let's talk about the other results, shall we? I know we've kind of mentioned a lot of them already. Plymouth kicked off proceedings with that famous 1-0 win against Leicester, and then Blackburn went to Leeds and won 1-0, as we've mentioned. Huge win for Birmingham, that, against Coventry City. I saw Birmingham City's owner sort of lapping up all of the praise from the Birmingham fans. A little bit of a strange one for me, that. Huddersfield, that could be a big point for them away at Bristol City. Hull kept their top six hopes alive with a 3-0 win over QPR, who are still in relegation danger. So hopefully they can do us a favour against Leeds, potentially. Millwall, huge win for them. They should be safe now. 3-1 win over Cardiff. Norwich went and won 1-0 at Preston. Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke, a must-win game for both teams. So what did they go and do? They went and drew. Watford so strong at the back against us, conceded in the first minute at Southampton, but only lost 3-2. Must have been a good game, that one. Swansea 1-0 win against already relegated Rotherham, and Sunderland finding their form at the end of the season again. A 1-0 win over West Brom, who are in slight danger of messing it up, aren't they? And this is what the top 10 looks like. Yes, that's Ipswich Town at the top. Played 43, 89 points. Leicester 1 point behind us with a game in hand. Leeds 2 points behind us. They don't have a game in hand. And then Southampton in fourth, 8 points behind us with two games in hand on us and one game in hand over Leicester. So they'll feel like they're not completely out of it yet, Southampton. West Brom, 72 points in fifth. Norwich, 71 points. So they've got that 6 point buffer over Hull, who have a game in hand. Then it's Coventry, who we go and face. I think it's all eyes on the FA Cup for them now, isn't it? Middlesbrough, point wasn't enough for them. They needed to win that game at Portman Road to keep any hopes alive. And Preston's dreams are over of reaching the playoffs after their defeat against Norwich. So yeah, there we have it. We've been around. Any of those results jump out at you, Dave? It's exciting down at the bottom. We can actually enjoy the relegation battle, can't we?
Yeah, we can. I mean, West Brom. The I see Thomas Asante got sent off, didn't he? I think they're certainly in danger of finishing. You know, I can see Norwich, you know, with the form they're in, overtaking West Brom, and yeah, they're not in the greatest of form. You know, how should be out of it, but not quite with the game in hand. But I can certainly see Norwich finishing above West Brom now. And the other thing, you know, the late goal was, and I think it was like a 97th, 98th minute. I think it was 7 minutes added on. I think Flynn Down scored in the 98th minute or something like that. So I'm not sure what was going on there. But I personally see that as a
handball in that as well. That should have been.
Oh, looked like it. He brought it down to, at the far post. I think I see that as a, all right, if they hadn't won, they'd have pretty much been out of it. But I see that for us as a positive result, really, you know, giving them really something to go for against Leeds and Leicester, hopefully. So, it's going to be tight, but yeah. So again, someone said in the comments there, Birmingham big win over Coventry, and someone said that apparently Coventry are starting to rack up some injuries. I haven't personally seen that, but yeah, that'll be interesting.
It certainly will be, yeah. And I totally agree on Southampton as well. Although you don't want to be chased down by three teams, but it does keep things interesting, and they're going to want to finish the season on a high as well, going into the playoffs. And I quite fancy Southampton in the playoffs, two leg games.
Let's talk of Southampton, and it's like they could still make automatics, but I think the chances are much smaller than what Jim made on, because they basically need to win out from here to get there. But if they win out from here, they take points off Leeds and Leicester, which probably means that
it would be us and them
if that is the case. So I'm not worried about Southampton, because if they overtake us, things have gone wrong for us as opposed to anything else. And I think we'd do enough with them winning the
game. So we actually kind of come on, Southampton. Come on,
absolutely.
let's have a good one together. Gary Noloth asked very early on in the show, what are your thoughts on our two-week break, considering our form after international breaks? I don't think that's been a huge problem this season, Gary. I take your point from previous seasons. I know that we lost against West Brom after an international break, but I think generally we've been pretty solid after international breaks. But yeah, more generally, Joe, how do you feel about the two-week break now? Gives Kiefer Moore a chance to have a bit of a rest, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think there's a few areas in the squad where we're struggling a little bit. One is, I sort of mentioned earlier, about the centre-forward role. We've got three players potentially close to get back to full fitness or being able to manage it from there. And then it's left back, Leif Davis just doesn't really have any sort of help in that role there. I think the drop off from him to Cameron Humphreys is sort of such a massive drop off that we don't really make it in the league. And then if you play Harry Clark on that side, you're sort of really negating that point. So it is very important he plays nearly sort of every minute of every game. And he's obviously was one of the ones that was down with a bug the other week, because you heard him at the sort of the Blackburn game and he was sort of sounded awful there. So yeah, I think 2 weeks would do him the world of good. And I just think the way that the fixture's going at the moment, hopefully they continue this way, that we could sort of build confidence from seeing the other teams get behind, and we'll know exactly what we need to do when the game kicks off against Hull to probably be promoted. We're going to know what we need to do. But yeah, there's just big areas of the squad that need a break, and I think it sort of suits us now. We've got 2 weeks off to then fly into a sort of three-game week.
It's all getting rather exciting, isn't it? Dave, I'm going to come to you for this question from Carnivore Nation. If Burns and Hurst make the bench for Hull or Coventry, which would be good, who do you drop out of the squad?
Who do you drop out of the squad? What, include what, team or the bench, sorry.
I think, bench. Probably looking at Caden Jackson, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps Jackson. I mean, who's on the bench? I mean, Dom Ball came on yesterday out of nowhere, didn't he? That was an odd one, wasn't it? I saw him almost forgotten about him, and on Wednesday just saw him. It looked like he was limping down the with a coffee just after half time. I said, bloody hell, Dom Ball. And lo and behold, obviously the injury of Clark, so hence he was the cover on the and ultimately came on for Twan Zabi on about 89th minute. But yeah, you would think you would think Jackson would certainly be one of them. The other, don't know. Personally, I think we're obviously a lot more likely to see Burns. Burns has been, you know, obviously Hurst has been out since, well, Boxing Day, hasn't he? Where Burns was, what, Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't he? So was that a month ago, wasn't it? So I think we're more likely to see Burns and Hurst. But what a lift that would be if they are both back on the bench. Superb.
Definitely. And could you see them playing a role, Joe, if
Wes Burns is fit, he will 100% be playing a role. I think maybe with George Hurst, maybe you don't need to rush him. And do we feel it's even worth him sort of risking the sort of injury recovery for that last couple of games of the season? He's a sort of player, sort of big guy, isn't he? The bigger guys always take a little bit longer to get themselves back up to fitness, I find, and it's going to take him a couple of games to get back up there, and we haven't really got that now. Hopefully he can come on against Huddersfield on the final day when we're sort of already having a promotion party. But I think unless we get to that stage, I'm not convinced we'll see George Hurst this year, but I'll be amazed if Wes Burns isn't in for every game he's fit for, if he's not in from the start. Big game player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep. Brian Cranos, are we now method but less flair, Joe?
I think we have been for a long time, to be fair, under McKenna. We've been very methodical almost since the start of his reign, to be fair.
James Sargent asked Dave, how much do you think the club will spend this summer, be it in the Premier League or sadly in the Championship? I think we can probably invest more than we maybe did last summer.
I think so.
In the Championship.
Oh, look, let's face it.
If we go up, we can probably spend whatever money we make from selling Leif Davis.
Exactly. Yeah, you've answered it, really. Yeah, if we're still in the Championship, Leif Davis certainly won't be here, I don't think, for a minute, will he? And possibly even if we go up. But yeah, more likely. But yeah, in the Championship, he's at the peak of his powers now, isn't he? So yeah, he'll no doubt be sold for hopefully a nice tidy sum.
Joe, I think you've kind of answered for this one. If Burns or Hurst are fit for Hull, would you start them or leave them on the bench? So Hurst will probably leave it. Burns probably try and get some minutes off the bench if we can against Hull, and then who knows, he might be fit to start on against Huddersfield on the last day of the season, perhaps.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, I think Burns, you just want to get him back in as soon as you can, don't you?
Yeah. Michael Warner, do you think we need to go up first or second, as we will not do it via the playoffs?
Sure, I'd rather go up first or second.
Yeah, short answer, yes.
But ultimately, if we go into the playoffs, we're going to be the best team in them, aren't we? So it's just a case of getting the results when it matters, and it's bloody difficult. But if you're going into the playoffs at the back of a 90-odd point season, generally the team that finishes third or fourth is the team that wins the playoffs.
Mm. We were dreading the playoffs in the year 2000, weren't we, Dave?
Well, I think that was just on recent history, on the previous four seasons, wasn't it, to be fair? I mean, it's a lovely way. Look, if you can guarantee the day out, well, we never played at the new Wembley. If you can guarantee a day out at Wembley and guarantee a win, what better way is there to go up? But oh Christ, you don't want to go through that now. As Craig quite rightly said, I'm sitting here last Sunday. We want to go up. You know, we want to go up whatever first. We don't want the playoffs. We want to get promotion now. So, yeah, I think I can stand the playoffs, honestly. But if it's so be it, look, you know, hindsight, start of the season, we'd have all taken this. I think, I know Joe had us obviously going through the promotion. And look, we're all hoping to push towards top six, I think. So I know it's easy to say whatever happened. Look, and if we don't do it, it'll be such a downer, won't it? But yeah, first or second, let's get it done.
Neil Wilmore, party at Rich's this year if we win the league. I think the after party will be at the Greyhound for Blue Monday. But yeah, there's every chance. I think Rich did say last year that, no, you can't come back to mine after we get promoted from League One. But if we go up from the Championship, everyone round, I think he said that. Anyway, I might be wrong. Romeo 4, would we prefer Coventry to win their semi-final? Will it benefit us if they're on a downer having lost or having one eye on a massive final? It's a really difficult one to call that, isn't it, really, Joe? But it's going to be after the Lord Mayor's show, their game against us, isn't it, a little bit?
I think that's just one that after the game, whatever happens, you'll decide it's the best thing that it happened that way. And then if you win, it'll be because that happened. And if you don't win, it'll be because the other thing didn't happen. It's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. BSE Blue, do you think all the pressure around at the moment and how we play, will two away games suit us better? He thinks it will. Would you go along with that, Dave?
I think he's probably right. Yeah, I think so.
We need another away end at Hull like we had at Barnsley.
There won't be.
No, but we need that.
Yeah, you need that.
We need sort of passion and just not say die attitude behind them.
It was definitely nervy against Watford. It was definitely nervy. Not a horrible atmosphere in the ground, but definitely edgy. Yesterday, as Joe Crotter already said, was better. And it just felt a bit weird that we didn't win. Because again, I think overall, like you say, we deserve to win. But I think playing away, perhaps, especially after the rest, will actually suit us, yeah.
Philip Blundell, who do you think is under the most pressure to finish in the top two? He'd say Leeds. If Leicester go up, they'll have a points deduction to start, but they badly do need to go up, though, don't they, Joe, financially?
Yeah, I think Leicester are under the most pressure because they were 18 points clear in February. Their manager is talking bobbins at every press conference at the moment. It looks like he's losing the plot. The fans didn't like the manager. Portion of the fans didn't like the style of football they were playing when they were 10 points clear at the top of the league. So they certainly don't like it now. They've lost six out of the last 10 games. And yeah, if they don't go up, they're in an incredibly difficult financial position. They haven't really, blimey. I know they've got Dewsbury Hall, but they haven't really got the assets to sell. Like, even if you look at Southampton, they've probably got more players that they could sell than Leicester do. And yeah, they look like they're in a real, real muddle financially. And yeah, the pressure must be massive there. And they look like they are feeling the pressure too.
Just remind me again, how much did they pay for Patson Daka?
He was like 26 million quid or something like that. He was
fans' favourite.
Wow. There you go.
Dear me. Norman Greenwald, Moore doesn't look anywhere near his best. How much of it is form or injury or opposition teams being tactically better against him? Could be all three, really, but it's hard to play with confidence in when you know that you're that much slower because you're tired and you're probably full of painkillers as well and things like that to try and get through games, right?
Yeah, he just looks not fully fit. He didn't look it against Norwich, didn't he? He was off it pretty much against Norwich. And as we said before, just that the international break did for him, I think. Maybe he was carrying a slight injury into that when he joined up with Wales, you know. But yeah, that's, and certainly the playoff game absolutely did for him. So yeah,
he hadn't played a lot of football at the start of the season.
No, and true. Sort of
come into then having to go 90 minutes every week, and I know we didn't play the Christmas schedule, but it does feel like everyone's knackered at the moment because the Christmas schedule was awful this year. There was one too many games in that period over Christmas, and the Easter schedule off the back of the international break with a midweek round the week after, it's been a real, I think just badly scheduled EFL season across those two key periods of the season, maybe because of what days of the week the sort of Christmas and Easter holidays fell on. And it's a tough one. But yeah, like we're now, like that Easter coming off there, sort of international break, and then having to go Friday, Monday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, effectively, is a real tough. And it seems like two teams have really really struggle. A few teams have struggled with it. And it's not just in the Championship. You see the Premier League, like the teams at the top, they're slowing down there where they don't normally. And yeah, it's a real attritional season, it seems, this year at all levels. It's only really Portsmouth who in League One who have just sort of kept their foot on the gas and haven't slowed down at any point.
Yeah, Portsmouth on the brink, aren't they? Toffee Crisp, who would you want to be the hero, score the goal to get us promoted? I think Joe's going to go for Luke Wolfenden or maybe Harry Clark.
Oh, Harry Clark would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. I think he would just, his head would explode if he scored the goal. So.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm picturing. Or I'm picturing who would be best, like leaping into the crowd after scoring. Connor Chaplin's up there as well, although he kind of did it last season, didn't he?
It's all such a likable team, isn't it? And all the players in it are very likable. That any of them, I think, you'd be happy with. Like,
it probably would be Morsy, but because his celebration is so just cool, I'm not sure it really suits the moment quite so well.
Harry Clark would go full on Horizon, wouldn't he?
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah, that would be pretty tasty, wouldn't it? Although, quite frankly, we don't care. It can be a Huddersfield player smashing one into his own goal, couldn't it? Hogg, there you go. Hogg smashing it into his own goal would be absolutely fine. We haven't been asked this one for a little while. Michael Kemp asks, how far is Morsy from a possible suspension? He's on that tightrope again, Joe, but he's balancing pretty well, isn't he? So he's allowed one more yellow card, isn't he, in the next three games before a suspension.
Yeah, so he's on 13. Yeah, once you get to 15, you get a free game ban. So effectively, yeah, like you say, he's allowed the one more, but you wouldn't want him to get that 15th on the final day of the season if you've got a playoff campaign to manage, would you? So he'd have to get through that. But once the season is done, that is done. That doesn't carry into the playoffs yet, but he's very good at walking the tightrope when it gets to it. He seems to run to the tightrope and then walk it rather than sort of play that way throughout the whole season. But yeah, no, I think he's only had like two bookings in the last 10 games or something like that now.
And he doesn't show, it doesn't show in his play either, does it? He's incredible, really.
Yeah, he still does three or four sort of little fouls every game, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's just still playing at the same level. He's not holding back, is he? Incredible. Amazing,
I
really.
Think he knows how to communicate with refs very well, Dave.
Well, yeah, good point.
You get those players in amateur football as well, the ones that seem to be constantly committing fouls but know how to talk to the referees so they can get through games. Colin Plum asks, are you all going to Hull and Coventry away? I can confirm that I will be there. Joe will be there.
I think I'm not at Hull, but I think I'm possibly going to be at Coventry, yeah.
The Coventry Conference. Gary Haseman, when we win the league against Huddersfield, does McKenna give Walton 10 minutes? Very nice, Gary. I'm not too concerned about tempting fate because I don't think I have much control. But no, I think we'll pass on that one tonight. Charlie says, my heart couldn't take playing Norwich in the playoffs.
I think the whole thing is like that. From the point that Plymouth scored on Friday night, my stomach was just in knots doing somersaults from then until effectively the end of the Ipswich game. So like 18 hours effectively of just struggling through. But it's just every game is just so big, isn't it? And I think last year was a bit different because all the games in League One, there weren't many Sky games. So it was like always like us, Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth were playing at the same time. So it would just be that 90-minute period where you had to worry, where now it's a Friday night, the Saturday lunchtime, the late Saturday game, the normal Saturday games, and it's going to be like this all through to the end of the season, where if you think like next week, I think Leicester play on a Friday night again next week, do they? And then, no, they're the Saturday lunchtime, aren't they, against West Brom? And then the Monday night is the Leeds game, then Leicester again on the midweek against Southampton, and then Leeds are the early game, Leicester are the Friday night game before that, then Leeds are the early game, then we're the late game. So it's sort of three sets of games every weekend for all that emotional energy to sort of survive. And it's tough work being a fan at the moment.
Yeah. Walking down the hill from the ground to the ground yesterday, obviously the final whistle went at Leeds. Looking there, as if Town were ready. I think missed the kickoff. Town already playing and have scored. Honestly, it's incredible.
Scenes. Nick Bruce, we can't rely on Leeds and Leicester continuing to drop points. Both could win their remaining games. How many points to finish second? Well, in that case, we need 7, right?
Yeah, I think 95. I think two wins will do it.
I think
95 will be enough.
Yeah.
Because Leeds would have to win all three games to get ahead of that, wouldn't they? Because effectively, the point we've got now, we've effectively got rid of that goal difference issue where basically the goal difference being worth an extra point, we've effectively now got that side of it sorted.
Tom Bradford says he's stag to who's in Ipswich the night of the Huddersfield game. So that'd be pretty good. All being well, Tom, there's every chance that Luke Wolfenden will arrive at your snag if it's anything like after the Exeter game last year, let alone Joe Fares and me. Carnivore Nation is throwing in a prediction there. Hull Ipswich 6. Yeah, we'd probably take that, wouldn't we?
We'd take that.
Right, let's try and get a couple more questions in. David Bradley says he read Leeds owe 190 million to other clubs. That's Leeds for you, isn't it?
There's some crazy financial numbers kicking about with those two teams. Absolutely. I think Leeds accounts showed their average first teamer was getting paid £67,000 a week last year. I know that's obviously going to come down with relegation, but that's what you're up against.
Stranger Martian, if we don't go up, do we lose Kieran McKenna? It's hard to know, isn't it? It has to be the right job. It has to be the right job for him if Brighton comes calling, if that job becomes available, which it might do, might not. There's a chance that we lose him, but we'll be losing him in a fantastic position, whatever happens, won't we?
Yeah.
Just going to look through. There's a lot of chat here. Rich says the EFL Awards have had a 20-minute break, still not resumed. So yeah, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to break the news that Kieran McKenna's been manager of the season.
We can break that, because if they haven't given it to him, then it's an absolute joke, isn't it?
Travesty.
Every fan of every club has said that it should be and will be McKenna. And I don't think, especially with the league table now, with us, we're literally top of the league and we're a promoted team from League One. He's just done an incredible job.
Romeo Four says the scenes on the Sir Alf Ramsey concourse when Rovers scored and won was special, and AD Crouch has said the biggest cheer of all in the afternoon was in the fan zone. Yeah, let's hope that I personally don't really like watching our rivals, because there's always a good chance that they're going to win, isn't it? And then you think, oh, I've spent all this time supporting a different club and haven't really got to enjoy it. But I did quite enjoy cheering on Blackburn on Saturday. How are you sitting there in your lounge, Dave, watching in Diamond Towers, watching our opposition?
I tell you what, the Plymouth one was a tough watch. I mean, obviously yesterday I was in the pub, so people were following it on their phones in the pub. So big cheer when Blackburn scored. But bloody hell, the Plymouth match was a tough watch, wasn't it? Crikey. Especially the last cross when Mabadidi swings in that ball right at the end, and Vardy's got to score, but just evades him, goes beyond the far post and stuff. Great goal by Bundu, by the way. Someone said it was a Mabadidi goal, wasn't it? Superb finish. But crikey, they are under the cosh. But Leicester just cannot buy a goal, can they? Yeah, it's tough. I know exactly what Joe means and you mean. It is tough to watch the others. Not, you know, I watched a bit of the Millwall Leicester game. What a goal that was, by the way. The Millwall goal the other night. You watch a bit of that. But yeah, it's just not going their way. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough to watch. As it is tough to watch us. If I won't be at the whole game, and that's just such a tough watch. But you know, to watch it on Sky, it's just, oh God, it's like, yeah, it's easy to be there
behind the sofa.
It is like the old Doctor Who when you're a kid, sort of thing. Yeah.
Tim Donovan says it's bonkers, isn't it? In August, we'd have all been happy with mid-table. Now we're hoping and expecting for promotion. That's the thing, isn't it? It's not just look where we are. We're in the Championship. For so many years in the Championship and in League One, we had nothing to play for when the sun came out in springtime. And now it's been two seasons in a row where not only have we got something to play for, we're in prime position to have something pretty magical at the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
And it will just set the club and the town up for the next decade, really, doesn't it?
I know
you're going to get up and you're going to be the most likely team to get relegated, and it's always the case. But just the investment that they will bring into the town and the stadium and the club with the sort of minimum 2 years of parachutes payments, if you do get up, it's just absolute game changing for the club, isn't it? So which is so big, isn't it? I know it was big last year to get back into the Championship, but this is on another level now. And like I said, we're playing well. We're we're not. I don't. It doesn't feel like stumbling over the line at the moment. I know we've had a bad week, sort of points wise, but I don't think performance wise it's been that bad after the, other than sort of Saturday's aberration. But yeah, we're in a fantastic position. I think everyone would have. I'd say bit your hand off for it, and Leeds and Leicester, I'd say they're struggling, aren't they? And the pressure on them is much more than the pressure on us.
I think you've got to look at the two games as well. I mean, I know both Leicester games were away, but come on, you'd have fancied them to beat Millwall and Plymouth. Leeds, Sunderland and Blackburn, both at home. Again, you'd have fancied 6 points from those. Okay, our games, Watford and improving Watford under Cleverley, obviously difficult to beat. Okay, succumbed to Southampton yesterday. Last kick of the game, as Joe said, probably should have been handball anyway. I mean, Watford and...
Borough, who were the form team in the division at the moment as well. I know they look like they'd left it late, but when you look at them last season, they were, from when Carrick came in, they were the best team in the league and very nearly got up. They got to the playoffs, obviously lost in the playoffs to Coventry, didn't they? But you went from there, and then it was effectively at that point, they started the season badly, but they've been a good side. And since Christmas, like sort of their new signing, Latte Lav started scoring goals, and they were a really good side, and them against Leeds at sort of the Riverside next week is a massive, massive game. And it's basically a sort of localish derby up there, isn't it? But they will want to be, I'm sure Michael Carrick will be wanting to do his sort of good friend Kieran McKenna a favour in that game.
Yeah, and where I was going with that, sorry, Blackburn. You know, you'd have fancied Leeds to beat Blackburn all day long. So, you know, looking at our two games, yeah, probably of the six, of the, those six games, our two are arguably, you know, the trickier as well. So the fact that we're undefeated in those two games, yeah, desperately disappointing that you're not picked up one, you know, 4 points and three, you know, a win against one of them. But yeah, still undefeated and still got the extra point on the other two. So, and two on Leicester, sorry.
Brilliant stuff, guys. Still, yeah, absolutely. Love this show. Thank you very much to everyone in the chat. We're first in the championship, aren't we? And I think talking over it has been quite therapeutic. I'm looking forward to just not having to worry about Ipswich next weekend. I've got a cup final of my own next Sunday, actually. Dave,
Dan
at the Golf Club. District Sunday League Division 5 cup final, league cup final.
I didn't realise you were still playing.
Yeah, I've come out of retirement again.
Can't. Yeah. Any more of those?
Yeah, I've sort of developed another, a bit more of an appetite for football these last few months for one reason or another.
I haven't seen any more vids of those 40-yard volley crossfield passes yet from right back to left mid. But yeah, keep us posted. Oh, well done, mate. Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, that's at Farnborough Town, if anyone's listening. No, please don't come and watch that. Our NordVPN promo is still active. The link for that is in the bio. And like I said, I think we're having a bit of a break this week. There's obviously no pre-match show. I think the next show will be in a week's time, the flagship show, where hopefully we can talk about Leicester and Leeds dropping more points and one of the Europeans being the Masters champion. That probably won't be on the agenda. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us in the comments. And Joe, I'll give you the final word, mate.
Well, I think like the players need some R&R for the next 2 weeks. I think the fans do. So make sure everyone just gets their feet up and gets themselves ready and refreshed for the final 3-game running, because it is going to be massive.
Massive. It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.